Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome on in. Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio, brought to you by the Mayfair Improvement District.
Make it Mayfair for the holidays.
Yes, it is the holiday season here on Rights to Ricky Sanchez. Joe Gilios, Mike Eskin.
Rights to Ricky Sanchez here in the Mayfair Business District.
That's right.
During the holidays.
President's Day, and that's a holiday.
Just trying to paint a picture here. I see that it's like Scrooged, but the Mayfair Business District, and in February.
What else is it? It's the second half of the NBA season?
Yeah, that's second half, like, the last third.
Yeah,
actually.
You know what it is? Yeah. It's a holiday, and maybe, Spike, maybe it'll be a happy one. So the Sixers get going tomorrow night. They're going to take on the Nets, 27 games to go. And I feel like, you know, we had a show when the season started. We did an hour here on this show talking about our expectations and our hopes and what we thought could be. And I think tonight's kind of a night to recalibrate because the Sixers have had a weird first half, first two-thirds, where they have been obviously a pretty good team, not a great team, but there's more there. I think we all see there could be more to this team. And last week when they ended the first half, it was encouraging because they looked a little bit different. They changed the lineup, and you had Embiid and Simmons play well together in a win over the Clippers. And now we look forward, Spike, and I want to believe they have more in them. I want to believe in this team making a run to the finals in the second half. But I can't get there. I can't get there when I look at this team and say, you know what? What we saw at the end of last week is what's going to happen for the last 27 games. They're going to get hot. They're going to get in the playoffs. And they're going to be that team we hoped when the season started. I can't get there yet. I see the flaws. I see what they are. I see how good the Bucks are. And I can't convince myself.
Joe.
They can do it. I can't do it.
Joe, here's the thing. You're not going to have to convince yourself. Because the next hour here on Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP is going to be me and the listeners getting you by the end of it to say, I believe. You're going to say, I believe, right after we stop talking about baby Mr. Peanut. You're going to be like, all right, I believe in the Sixers. I'm going to paint a picture for you. And I started thinking about it when I saw the quotes from Brett Brown today. They got back to practice. Mm-hmm. And Brett Brown was talking about what a good mental space that Joel Embiid is in right now, especially coming off of that All-Star game where down the home stretch, Joel Embiid was the key offensive and key defensive player in a lot of ways on a court with the best players in the entire NBA.
Which is usually a telling thing, the end of the All-Star game. You know, the best of the best are out there.
Right, and especially this time when they're trying the hardest. And we also saw an All-Star game where the pace is so high, and Joel Embiid, I think, played the second or third most minutes in the entire game. And right there at the end of the game, with the pace really, really high, they are able to go to Joel Embiid in the post, Joel Embiid playing defense. And we're reminded of we spent so much time talking about why he's happy, why he's not happy, why he looks slow, so on and so forth. We are reminded that Joel Embiid is one of the six or seven best basketball players in the entire world, and he's on the Sixers. Has it been problematic so far this year? Absolutely. Has it been perfect? Absolutely not. But we were reminded on a court with the best players in the world, there was the Sixers' best player shining through all of that. And you come back and you look at Brett Brown's quotes, and he's talking about the mental place that Embiid's in. And I saw something that Kyle Newbeck wrote, and I thought I took it to heart. And he asked the question, is the lineup change why Joel Embiid is feeling better? Because we also come off a weekend, and I've never been one to say that Embiid and Simmons hate each other. I don't think they hate each other. I just don't think they've complimented each other on the court. Mm-hmm. They're not great friends off the court. But a weekend where they both were obviously making a public effort to say, hey, this is our thing. It's us. This is my brother. I'm ready to go to war with him. And I think the Al Horford moving to a bench thing, which I think as a basketball strategy thing was probably overrated and by a lot of us, and we have one game of a sample size. But what it was the Sixers telling Joel Embiid, we get it. Things have been too hard on you. And we are going to do whatever we can to make them easier. And whether that's starting Furkan Korkmaz and sitting down a $30 million player that we might lose favor with him, we might lose favor with his agent, we might lose favor with potential free agents, but we are going to do the thing to make it easier on you. And I believe that a Joel Embiid who believes and a Joel Embiid who is committed to making the best out of the relationship between he and Ben Simmons is as capable as any player in the Eastern Conference. And it probably comes down to just him and Giannis who can lead their team to the finals. Now, that doesn't mean that I think they're the only two teams that can get to the finals, but single player who can really do it. And I look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, Joe, and I see the Milwaukee Bucks, who are playing great, and there's not really much of a historical precedent with how great they're playing, but when you watch them, you can just tell that there's something missing when it gets hard. The same way we felt about the Sixers, that same thing happens to the Bucks, because you can't just give the ball to Giannis at the end of a game on the perimeter and say, go get me a bucket, because they back right off of him and he's not that good a shooter. And then we get down to, you know, Chris Middleton or Eric Bledsoe mm-hmm. or whatever. You look at the Heat, and you and me and a lot of other people have said that a team led by Jimmy Butler is not a championship
nope.
team. And I truly believe that. The Raptors are much better than anyone thought.
Really a great story, that team.
A great story and a very well-coached team. But you look at the team and you really say, do you really believe in your heart of hearts that at the end of a game, whether it's Kyle Lowry or Pascal Siakam or, you know, or Fred VanVleet, now any one of those guys could do it occasionally, but do you believe that at the end of hard playoff series over and over and over again that there's a guy on that team that can do that? And I don't really believe that there is.
Well, Kawhi's not there anymore.
Right. And I look at the Celtics and I just say, I've seen 4 Sixers Celtics games and I know the Sixers can beat the Celtics best out of 7. I just know it. And Joe, it hasn't been perfect. It hasn't been exactly the way we planned. It's been disappointing in a lot of ways. But with a third of the season left and potentially the best player in the Eastern Conference on the Sixers and motivated in a way that he feels that the team finally heard what he's not happy about and finally did something about it, I believe that the Sixers have a real chance. I believe they have a real chance to get to the NBA Finals this year.
All good arguments, and I wish they had swayed me. Not yet. I need to hear more. 888-729-9494 to hop on in. Do you believe the Sixers team can make a run to the finals? The second half opens tomorrow. Here's why I don't, and here's why, despite what you said there, Spike, I am skeptical this team could do it. I mean, number one, I agree with you, the Bucks are not perfect, and they have some issues outside of Giannis, and he even has his own limitations on the outside. They're 46-8. Mm-hmm. 46-8 teams go to the NBA Finals.
Like, they do.
And they're not just fluky 46-8, because I don't even think you can fluke your way to that. But everything points to they dominate their opponents. And that's not going to change in the next 2 months before the playoffs start. And where the Sixers are, Spike, if they were the number 2 seed, if they had kind of stumbled their way, but still, even if there was a big gap between them and Milwaukee, and they were the 2 seed right now, at least I could convince myself they're going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then you know what? It's a best of 7. Maybe Joel stands up. Maybe the issues the Bucks have kind of show themselves, and in a short series, the Sixers could find a way to win 3 and get to a game 7, and who knows what happens.
Right.
But the Sixers right now are not the 2 seed. They're not going to be the 2 seed, so they're going to have to come from a position that very few teams that make the finals come from, where it's just somewhere 3 or 4 or 5. It's the road, like the damage they've done doesn't mean their season is over. They could change things in the next third with the lineup change and Embiid being healthy, all the stuff with him and Simmons. But they have put themselves behind the eight ball to really be a championship kind of team. And right now they are, what, they're 6 games out of the 2 seed. Just based on the games left, that's not happening.
No, that's impossible.
The best they could probably do
is get to the 3.
To the 3. They're 4.5 behind the 3 seed. They have a shot at that, but they'd have to really play good basketball. Most likely, they're going to be a 4 or 5 seed.
I agree that they've made it harder on themselves. What I don't agree with is that makes it prohibitive. For good or for bad, when the spotlight is on them, they have performed. And the thing about the playoffs is the spotlight is on you the entire time.
But have they performed the playoffs? I mean, 2 years in a row, they had bad moments in the second round.
No, I mean, in the playoffs, I believe that they will perform as well as they are capable of performing, which might, maybe that's not good enough. Maybe they're just not capable.
But they'll show up.
I don't think we're going to get these things like we've had on the road where they just don't show up for a game or this and that. They're going to lose games. And they're not going to, it's not going to be you know, that's not what is going to happen. But they're going to, I just, for some reason in my gut, when I, I think about the NBA playoffs. They're going to be so hard to score on that they're going to be in every single game, and it's going to come down to the end of games.
You sound like Brett. They're built for the playoffs. Well, that's what they, that's
I'm
what
trying
they
to
think.
Talk myself in.
That's what they think, right? Yeah.
I hope they think it. I hope they actually believe it and they're not just talking themselves into it. Because those are two different things.
Sure.
Whether the Sixers actually believe it or they're just trying to talk themselves into it are two different things.
And the last thing I'll say before we go to the phone lines on this is, look, the way Joel played the other night and watching him and all those other stars, it was encouraging. But it also at the same time frustrates me, Spike, because that's there in him, and we don't see it every night. Now, maybe Shaq was like this to an extent. Shaq needed the bright lights to care. I mean, he would take regular seasons off, and then all of a sudden he'd show up in late April, and it would be, oh, boy, no one's going to stop Shaq. And maybe that's what Joel has in him. But I worry about players like that because they really have to flip a switch here. Because the way they've played, I don't think anyone listening to us would say, yeah, the way they've played is championship worthy. It's not.
Absolutely not.
But I think all of us have a different level of do we think they can do it. And yeah, there's something in there, Ben obviously, and Joel even more so. It worries me, players like Joel, that have to have something go on for them to turn it on, whether it's getting criticized by us, whether it's getting criticized by Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, or whether it's the All-Star game. That kind of stuff worries me for a team that needs to get on a run.
I have an idea. Maybe we get Conklin to record a bunch of fake Charles Barkley just tirades about
Joel
Embiid. Yeah, before every game, there's just a new tirade from fake Barkley about Embiid just to send him out there with some motivation.
What's the worst that happens?
Yeah,
I say do it.
Yeah, let's
all right.
Do it.
888-729-9494. That's how you hop in. Do you believe the Sixers can make a run to the NBA Finals? I don't. Spike does. You guys need to try to convince me. Jeff's in Phoenix. Well, what's up, Jeff?
Joe, Spike, good evening. I am excited to get the season back on track here because that All-Star game, even though it's an All-Star game, was quite exciting, I got to say. Hey, Spike, I love the idea with the Conklin bit. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I think that might actually get it to him a little bit because that All-Star game was great. And seeing him get the ball at the end of the game, and he kept going and going and going. I'm encouraged. I actually agree with you, Spike. For once, I finally get a chance to agree with that.
There we go. It took like a month. Yeah.
exactly right. I think they're going to get on a bit of a run. I'm not going to say they're going to be the 2 seed. As long as they're 4 and we have home court, I'm fine with that. You know, I think they're going to get this worked out. I think maybe Joel, seeing how he played in the All-Star game, granted it's an All-Star game, but let's be honest, that fourth quarter was riveting. And I couldn't put it down. And I couldn't believe, you know, you got guys taking charges in that game and getting hammered. And I thought someone was going to get hurt. Really, I did. And, you know, for an All-Star game, it was really cool. And seeing Joel take it semi-seriously and back people down, if he can get that in his head to do it at the end of games, just at the end of the game, you know, when we need it, that'd be great. And I think everything is just going to kind of filter in. Yeah, keep Horford on the bench, start Furkan. I would say start Furkan and start Thybul kind of alternate a little bit because we saw it happen when he started Furkan last time. He didn't score a point and couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Well, I think one of the reasons that Furkan didn't score a point is that the Clippers decided they were going to put Paul George on him and make sure that he couldn't
true,
shoot.
Yes.
So, Jeff, what you got to do is you got to get Joe by the end of this show to say, I believe. Give him your final plea to say why he should say he believes.
Well, Joe, we got a lot of home games left, which is a very encouraging sign. I don't have the schedule in front of me. If I wish I did, then I have a better thing here.
They have the fourth easiest schedule in the NBA.
So yeah, some of their road games are against some bad teams, which should help them win those games.
Well, that should be helpful here. But here's the perfect thing for it, because I just heard you say the Bucks are 45-8. You know, their record is great. Let's remember one thing about records, okay? What was the record of the Golden State Warriors when they went to the finals? 73-9. They beat my Bulls 72-10, which killed me, but that's okay because 73-9 doesn't have a ring. So
it doesn't. No, you're right. One of the greatest teams we've ever seen didn't win. And Jeff, we appreciate that. That's a good point. Though I believe it was LeBron James that took down that team.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we could have a LeBron James in hiding in Glenn Robinson III.
You know what? He just needs a chance.
Alec Burks is often called, when Alec Burks was in Golden State, they called him the LeBron of the West.
Yeah,
people called him that.
It was, fans were upset when they traded him. Because how do you trade the LeBron of the West?
LeBron of the West. They actually had that on his jersey. It was a first time ever.
Yeah, and then the merchandise were like, well, we can't put that on. The NBA wouldn't like that. That's the only reason you don't see those jerseys. Victor's and only. What's up, Victor?
I'll say, hey, great show, guys. I'll say you can believe after they show you what they do Saturday against the Bucks. And I'll say if they can play better at the end of stretches, at the end of games, and how they play to me matters. That you got to develop consistency. And seeding matters. If people don't think seeding matters, I don't know what they're watching. But seeding matters. You got to be able to get a great seed because – and you're going to have to win, depending on where they get seated, you're going to have to win some games away from home. They're lights out at home. It's the problem when they get away from home, right? And so I'm not sure if everything's fixed. I like to see – you got to get some litmus tests, right? And what's coming out, I guess they play the Nets tomorrow. I don't think Kyrie's playing. But on Saturday, let's check mark. Let's see how they do. Let's see how they play at end of games. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not ready to put my pom-poms up yet and go all in, but I'm ready to see how they respond at end of games, if they've learned anything through the first half. It's all about adjustments, right? Can you make adjustments? And sometimes I get scared at the end of games with Embiid with the ball in his hand. I do. I don't know why, but I've seen it too many times with the key turnover here and there, how they take care of the ball. But listen, you know, this is all speculation, but the reality for us, this is what we live on, you know, we thrive on stuff like this. So I'm hoping they play better against the elite teams away, and that'll tell me everything I need to know. But, guys, you keep having a great show. Thank you for putting me on.
Appreciate it, Victor. Well, he's kind of delaying my decision until Saturday night. He wants me to watch this Bucks game.
Yeah, look.
Sounds like Victor. He doesn't really believe yet.
It was sort of cowardly.
He wants a reason to believe. He wants to watch them beat the Bucks. I mean, I think
that's his job, is to give you the reason to believe.
What
am I paying him for?
Victor?
Yeah.
You have to reduce whatever you're paying him. All I know is that we've all been waiting all season for something. And once in a while we get it, right? The Christmas Day game, that carried our spirits for weeks. We're like, oh, they beat the Bucks on Christmas. And then, oh, they didn't play well for 3 weeks after that, and we kind of had to move past it. This Saturday is another one. I mean, every time they have a big game, we use it as a measuring stick, and we assume that that's what they are moving forward. And look, the last big game they had was here last week before the All-Star break against the Clippers. They played really well.
They did.
They sat Horford. They won the game. So like, that's the feeling that we're carrying. I think you're carrying it in believing this team's going to make a run.
I don't like that tone that you were just taking.
Well, right, I mean,
it was a little dismissive.
I think it's pretty obvious that you're going off. But that's what they are, right? They go up, they go down, they have these big moments. At this point, I need more to believe. I need someone to convince me. I mean, you didn't do it in the first segment. You didn't do it. I'm not convinced they're going to the finals.
Well, I needed more help out of Victor. I gave a good rap there. I don't know about Victor. Harry later can
We
do
can
it.
Blame Victor. 888-729-9494. Do you believe the Sixers can make a run to the finals? I do not. Spike's trying to convince me. He needs your help. Second half or second third of the season starts tomorrow. 888-729-9494. That is how you hop in. This is Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio, brought to you by the Mayfair Business Improvement District.
Make it Mayfair. Make it Mayfair. Make it Mayfair for the holidays.
On Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio, brought to you by the Mayfair Improvement District.
Make it Mayfair for the holidays.
Joe Giglio, Spike Eskin, debating the Sixers, where they're going, if we believe. We'll get to Mr. Peanut and the whole thing coming up later this hour.
Mr. Peanut never recorded, never cheated, never stole signs. Mr. Peanut never did, never would.
No, he wouldn't.
I don't know about Peanut.
Mr. Peanut also doesn't believe in the Sixers. He told me.
Oh, no.
No, he knows. I mean, he sees a team that can't win on the road, fifth place in the Eastern Conference, durability issues with the big man. Like, he sees what's going on here. Brett, they talked today, and you mentioned earlier, the Horford thing. You think this lasts the rest of the season? They're committed to this?
I think they are. I think there's no turning back now. I think there are matchups during the playoffs that they may think differently. But
Milwaukee?
I think it's a statement. I think it is a – look, they don't have that much time to figure out who to put in place.
It's a perpetual Sixers problem. We're running out of time to figure out this new lineup. They do this all the time now.
Well, Joe, they don't have that many good players.
Well,
is the problem. But so their options are Furkan Korkmaz, Matisse Thybulle, Glenn Robinson III, Alec Burks, and Shake Milton, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't think Alec Burks is a starter kind of guy because he needs the ball to he's a you know ball hog mm-hmm. kind of guy. I don't say that negatively. Glenn Robinson third isn't that good, but at least he can hit spot up threes and he is competent defensively. Furkan Korkmaz is a great 3-point shooter, but not competent defensively. And Thybulle, I think you can't start because he gets in foul trouble too much.
You just got to combine him into one player.
Yeah, that would be great. I think if you the problem with starting Thybulle is you could be 4 minutes into the game and he's got two fouls and you don't see him again until the second half. So I think it comes down to Glenn Robinson the third or Korkmaz. But the truth is, if you're starting either of those guys in the playoffs,
it's not good. That's not ideal at all.
It's not. And every team has a worst starter, but that would be pretty low on the worst starter list.
888-729-9494. Spike believes in the Sixers make it a run, that they can make a run to the NBA Finals. I do not, and you guys are going to try to convince me by the end of this hour to change my mind. Harry's a believer. What's up, man?
Oh, my God, you guys steal my thunder. I wanted to talk about the actual players coming in, the new guys.
Wait a minute. I mean, we can't steal your thunder. We're the hosts. Only a caller can steal your thunder.
Also, Harry, before you go on,
WIP rules here. Yes. A caller can steal another caller's thunder, but I don't know about a host.
I want to put this out. It's a thunder PSA. Yeah. There's unlimited thunder. It's a 24-hour a day station. You can have as much thunder as you want, Harry. Go ahead.
That's exactly what I was going to say, though. We got players that are coming in for the first time. You got Thybulle, you got Robinson. These guys are really new to the team. You got to give them a chance. It's 82 games. You can't expect them to play 110% on each one of these things. They don't even do any pre-planning on a lot of these games. Obviously, the big ones they do, but you know the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, they can't. I really liked our coach. I think Brett Brown coached his ass off in the playoffs last year. He really impressed me during that run, and I think he's going to do the same thing. This team is going to gel. They're going to start winning a lot of games. Like Spike said, they got the fourth easiest schedule in the NBA from here out. I'm stoked, man. I am really stoked. And I got one question for you.
Go ahead.
I've seen Mr. Peanut walk around in circles. Do you think maybe he's allergic to himself?
I never thought of that before.
Wow, does he have a peanut? Does Mr. Peanut have a peanut allergy?
I mean, everyone at this point, everyone does.
He is gluten-free and dairy-free.
I mean, you know what? I wouldn't be shocked, Harry. That's an interesting perspective to bring there to the Mr. Peanut discussion.
He was very positive.
It's positive. And did you hear that? That was a Brett Brown fan. We don't get those.
The Brett Brown fan besides us in Philadelphia. His point is Brett Brown did do a great job coaching in last year's playoffs. And it is amazing what winning a championship will do, and rightly so, to the reputation of a coach. But everyone now just assumes that Nick Nurse is like a top coach mm-hmm. and Brett Brown isn't because Nick Nurse won that series. Nick Nurse also did have Kawhi Leonard.
He had the best player in the series.
By far. And the Sixers' best player was definitely not at his top health. I thought Brett Brown did a good job coaching during the Raptors series, and I thought he did a great job during the Nets series, actually. Brett Brown started Greg Monroe in a playoff series.
And won.
So, you know,
also
some respect on his name.
Brett Brown went to Game 7 and nearly to overtime with really in that series, the best player for the Sixers was Jimmy Butler. Like from pillar to post, their best player in that series was Jimmy Butler because mm-hmm. he played all the games and he played mostly well. Their best player was Kawhi Leonard, and Brett Brown almost won that series. That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. And when you're playing the same team for an entire series and you can adjust and people a lot of times talk about halftime adjustments and things like that. I think the adjustments that a coach can make through a 7-game series, because really during the regular season, they're not just trying to win games. They're trying to win games, but they're also trying to figure out things.
Yep.
They're trying to figure out which lineups work. So you might see a lineup out there for 2 consecutive games that doesn't seem to work to you, and you're like, get him off the floor. Why does he have that lineup out there? I can guarantee you every time he puts a lineup out there, there's a reason for that lineup being out there and something that he's trying to learn that he can use in a 7-game series. Because that is really when a coach – look, if you have LeBron James, if you have Kawhi Leonard, if you have Giannis, there are some players that can rise above not having a great coach. But I do think that's when NBA coaches when the most is demanded of them is in a hard playoff series.
888-729-9494. Do you believe the Sixers can make a run to the NBA Finals? I don't. Spike does. And the other thing to throw in here is, Spike, I don't know if they believe. I think deep down they think. They have some faith in themselves. They believe they're better than they've shown the first half. But I don't know if deep down the Sixers believe yet that they are a championship team. Like that I watch them play in these big games, especially on the road. And I don't see a team. This goes back beyond this year. Last year in the playoffs, the year before in the playoffs, in Boston, in Toronto. I don't watch a team that yet thinks it can do it.
Here's the odds, right? This is on DraftKings, the odds there. Just to win the conference. The Bucks are minus 139.
Which they should be.
Yeah. The Sixers are plus 600.
Are they second?
They're second. But look at the bunch up. And it hasn't been this way even when the Raptors and Celtics were winning a lot of games, the Sixers were far up ahead of them as far as the odds. Sixers are plus 600. Raptors are plus 650. Celtics are plus 700. Heat are plus 700.
They're all the same, basically.
It really, like what they're saying is the Bucks have a 65 or 70% chance of winning the conference, and then the other teams together make up that 30%.
I mean, look, the one silver lining, and it came up again in this show this hour, is what they did to the Bucks on Christmas. That they're built in a way to beat the Bucks, to slow down the Bucks, to give Giannis trouble. And we had a caller, 15 minutes ago, who said, you know, get back to me after Saturday night. Saturday night, Joe, that's your time to figure this out. It's not that simple. But if they go to Milwaukee on Saturday and they show us something totally different than they showed us 2 weeks ago, it will move the needle.
Oh, sure.
Because that's the way you just phrased it. I mean, there's only one team in the East that you say, okay, they're in a different league.
Yeah, and that's by far it's the Bucks. Not even, and the Raptors have been awesome this year, but the Bucks are a definite step above everybody else.
It is crazy how good the Bucks have been. I mean, they're having basically just as good of a season without Kawhi Leonard.
The Raptors.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, you said
Raptors,
the Bucks.
Sorry.
Yeah, they're on pace to win more games than they won with Kawhi Leonard.
Which is nuts. Kevin is up on WIP. What's up, Kevin?
I agree that I think they can make it to the finals. There's a couple reasons for that. Obviously, they stink on the road. But if you look at them, when they come home and they're lights out at home, that's like a playoff game every single time. Only because the fans scrutinize them so much and expect so much that they rise up to that level. So when they get into the playoffs, I think that level of intensity for them is going to go up. So they can sneak some games in there. And if they do what they do at home, I think they can win it.
So you're saying like we're scaring them into playing better at home?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know what it is. It's one of the strangest things. And Kevin, we appreciate the call. Spike, the home road thing this year is as drastic as any team I've ever seen.
So no NBA team in, at least since I look back to 1975, has ever made the finals with a sub-500 road record. The closest that ever came was the Heat that beat the Mavericks.
05, 06?
Yeah.
With Shaq and Wade.
Right, and they were 21-20 on the road, and that was the worst road record. So Sixers are currently 10 games under 500 on the road, and they would have, I think, probably the biggest split of any. I can't imagine a team this good
at home
being that bad on the road. I have to believe that some of it is just randomness. I mean,
But for this long, I mean, it's gone on for two-thirds of a season. They're really great here, and it almost doesn't matter who they play on the road. You pick them to lose.
And some of those games have been terrible on the road.
In Orlando, in Atlanta.
Well, I was in Indianapolis on New Year's Eve. That was the first time this year.
It was over by third quarter.
That I sat there and I was like, okay, this is disgraceful. They're getting run off the court by TJ.
So the crazy thing about the split is it gives me faith, because they do win almost every game here, that they're not going to get swept in a series. They won't lose in five. They're going to win enough games because they get home games, you know, within the first four games of a series, that it's going to go long. But the other side of the coin is I also have no faith they're going to win a game seven on the road if they gets to that point.
And not just game seven, they're going to have to win game five on the road. And those are, you know, you lose my fear is losing the first two on the road, you win game three, but then you lose game four.
And there's no way they win
and
five.
And you're stuck. Yeah, that's the worst scenario.
Yeah, and you know what? They do have a chance. I mean, you've said they're 10 games under on the road. But I looked at it a couple weeks ago. Their slate of road games down the stretch is really – they play a lot of bad teams. The Bucks are coming up Saturday. But after that, they could push this thing close to 500. Like, they're playing a lot of bad teams. It could go down to maybe they finish four under.
Well, what do they have?
Three
they
under?
Have 13 games left on the road. How many do they have?
They have 27 total games left on the schedule. So they're 34-20. But I'll check how many home games they've played.
Yeah,
something like that. That makes sense.
I mean, they'd have to go on quite a run. But it's not just bad teams. It's bad teams who don't care about losing anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about teams who are out of it, who have traded what they're traded, and really are talking about draft position. So, yeah, I think it's they are in a position where they should have a great last third of the season.
Should, maybes. I'm not hearing confidence. I need to hear a reason to believe this team is going to flip that switch and make a run to the NBA Finals, besides the fact that, they're really great at home. Well, I get that. They've been great at home for years now. The road thing is a significant issue for this team. 888-729-9494, #9494. That's how you hop in. We will come back. Your phone calls. Spike needs help here because it's been 40 minutes. He has not convinced me to believe in the Sixers making a run. He believes, I don't yet, that this team's going to make a big second-half run and get to the NBA Finals. We'll come back. Your phone calls. You need to convince me. And we will hit on the latest with Mr. Peanut, who may or may not be allergic to peanuts, which is something that I did not expect. But you know what? You never know what you're going to hear on this show. Right to Ricky Sanchez Radio, brought to you by the Mayfair Business Improvement District.
Make it Mayfair for the holidays.
On Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio, brought to you by the Mayfair Business Improvement District.
Make it Mayfair. Ha ha, just kidding, Joe. Make it Mayfair for the holidays.
You threw me off there for a second.
Sorry.
I was like, wait, we're just ending the singing?
This
is the holiday season.
I'm never
going
to end the singing. Tucker hates it, so every time I sing, I just look at Tucker as disgust. Make it Mayfair, Tucker. I'm looking right in his eyes.
He's this disapproving look in there. Like, what are they doing again?
Hey, Tucker, look at me. You looking at me?
I'm looking at you.
Make it Mayfair.
He can't even get through it. It's working.
I can't. The disapproving look. I'm giddy.
For the Sixers team?
I get to go to Trap tonight, Trap Tavern. I'm pretty excited.
You're a referee.
Yeah, referee for the Rock, Paper, Scissors tournament, the Marks and Reese Rock, Paper, Scissors tournament. We're going to have the finals are in March. We're having like qualifying events.
Do you have a referee outfit?
So I do have a referee shirt. I'm officially, so we have this gentleman that works at KYW News Radio named Andre, and Andre is a official Rock, Paper, Scissors referee. Like he's in leagues and stuff.
Oh, he has a certificate?
He schooled us, but he could not make it tonight, so I'm the referee. So I'm showing up and I'm refereeing it. It's 9 to 11 tonight, and you get $100 if you win, and then if you win the finals, you get guaranteed in the finals if you win tonight. There's a $1,000 prize, and then Mark's Jewelers has a package they're giving away too.
It's like $1,500 bucks in jewelry or something.
Yeah,
it seems like
a
great thing. So, as a referee, are you going to be a stickler, or are you just there to kind of make sure everyone, follows what happened?
I'm a stickler. Here's one rule I didn't know of. So you've played rock, paper, scissors, right?
I think everyone has.
Okay, so everybody's played rock, paper, scissors. So here's one rule: when you're throwing scissors, you have to throw them like you can't throw them like you're the Three Stooges, like you're going, like in the eyes.
The angle of your hand matters?
You have to be like this. Because
you're cutting.
Right. Because if you're flat like this, you could sneak and make it look like you did paper. Right?
You see what
I'm saying?
You're trying to avoid that.
Yeah, so you have to throw the scissors like this, like straight up and down. And when you throw the paper, you have to throw the paper flat. Because if you throw the paper like this, you could open up to scissors.
Now, will you lay the ground rules to start?
So we'll lay the ground rules, and if you screw up the scissors or the paper or something like that, I'll say, hey, that doesn't count. We got to do that one again. But you do it again, I'm taking away a point. I'm docking a point.
I have to imagine though that the people that come out for this, they know what they're doing.
Well, not everyone. You know, it is a bar where people are drinking, perhaps Miller Lights and High Lifes and all that kind of stuff. So you never know. So I'm going to be, but I am a stickler and I will be wearing a referee shirt. So that means I must be respected by everyone there.
The referees are rarely respected.
No, referees.
No, that's not true.
Joe, there's not, you can't make the call to New York. There's no challenge flag. There's no instant replay tonight.
Which is right up your alley. You hate instant replay.
I hate instant replay. I'm calling the shots. I'm calling the shots. So you play, it's actually best of three of best of three.
Best of three.
Well, okay. So each round
is a best of three.
Well, it's like tennis. You know how there's sets?
Yes.
Or whatever? So you go best of three, and the first person that wins that best of three
is up 20 love.
Is it?
I haven't watched tennis in a long time, but I did used to enjoy
yes,
it. So
it is
that's coming up tonight.
Yep.
And you, I mean, you have a big, I mean, a lot is going on here at WIP the next day. So tonight, you were heading out, you're the referee at Trap Tavern in Collegeville. That's the name?
And it's in Trap, isn't it? Is that's near Collegeville.
I just know Collegeville.
I think it's Trap, PA. I think it's.
Well, you go there, and everyone will go there with you. At 9 o'clock, you'll be there.
But we're talking Sixers. I'm sorry.
Yes, but I think we have to touch one more thing before we get back to. I mean, at some point, you have to realize you're not going to convince me. You didn't do it.
What, with
the Sixers?
Well, it's not on me. Okay, here's what I would ask you. Of all the callers we've had tonight, of Tucker just sitting there making bad faces at me, who's given the best argument as to why the Sixers have a real chance at the finals? It's me. I've done my work. Look, anytime I'm negative about the Sixers, everybody, positive Philly, everybody's so happy, everybody's so positive, comes out of the woodwork to tell me how I'm a hater, I'm too negative, and da-da-da-da-da. So now I'm being positive, and I'm trying to convince you, Mr. Doubtin' Joe over there, to be positive and to really believe, and I just don't get the support, the arguments that need... Where's Eric in Miami, for God's sakes?
We're not ripping ownership, so yeah. He's not getting involved. Yeah. How many road wins does this team have this year? Nine?
Nine. They're 9-19.
Nine.
Well, Joe, how many road wins do you need to win the title?
More than about that.
No, you need the most. Look,
so they're going to be on right now. They're on the road in the first round. So
okay,
that's only four.
You only need to win one on the road.
Okay,
because if you win your three at home,
they're going to win every home game.
Actually, I don't think you can do it that way.
Because you'd lose three.
Right. Yeah.
No, that would work, wouldn't it?
No. Okay. So
it's math time here.
Okay. So let's say it's Bucks Sixers. Bucks win the first two at home. Right?
Yes.
Oh, no, you would have to win one of those. You have to win one of the first two at home. So Sixers win, Bucks win, Sixers win two. Sixers are up 3-1. Then Bucks win, then Sixers win. Yeah. There you go. They just got to win one of the first two every
just
series.
Just beat Giannis. No big deal. They're 46-8.
One road game a series. It's not that hard, Joe.
But they also can't drop any home games, which will happen against the good teams.
They're 20. If you're going to bring up their road record, then bring up their home record. They're 27-2 at home. League best.
It's great.
League best at home.
And they're awful on the road. Why do they have to be so weird? Why can't they be a normal basketball team?
Because ever since we started this nonsense 8 years. Well, I'm going to start it with Bynum, even though I know a lot of people, some that are related to me, like to start the process at Bynum. But let's start the
I think some people like to start it in like the 80s.
Right.
Like, it's been going on for 30 years.
If we start the weirdness at Bynum, there has not been a year that has passed with the 76ers that something excruciatingly weird has not happened. Like Zaire Smith, their first-round pick last year, broke his foot and then almost died from a peanut allergy. And
sesame.
Sesame. And it wasn't even the weirdest thing that happened. You know, like...
That's true.
That
should be the weirdest for like a five-year span.
Right. You know, Markelle Fultz said he had a phantom shoulder injury, and then he broke Joel Embiid's face on that shoulder.
I'll never forget the night that Kyle Newbeck was in studio and Derek Bonner with me, and we had some guy call in who said he was watching Markelle Fultz at like a gym.
Shooting a shot.
Yeah. And then he was practicing. It was all like no one could see it. It was behind the scenes. I wasn't getting out there. It was like, what is happening?
I got pictures of that. And I forwarded them to people at
incredible.
The Sixers. And I was like, this doesn't seem right. And all I got a response was something to the effect. It wasn't, oh no. But it was like, it wasn't a positive response.
That's oh no I mean. Could be the slogan of the Sixers from time to time. Oh no. Okay, so before we end with our final thoughts on Mr. Peanut,
yep.
I do feel a little bit better about the Sixers. I'm going to try. You know what I'm going to do? You didn't make the best point. I'm going to go with our coward caller, Victor, from earlier, who told me to wait till Saturday. If they win on Saturday...
You're going to believe.
I will. Yeah, I will.
Wow.
Now, I don't believe they're going to win that game on Saturday, but if they do, I will open my eyes to the Sixers proving me wrong.
Joe? I'm going to bet you that they beat the Bucks on Saturday.
All right.
And loser has to bring in a big bag of in-the-shell roasted peanuts for the winner. Huh?
Deal.
Huh?
Next Wednesday? Or the Wednesday after that, whenever you're here again?
Oh, yeah, I'm not here that Wednesday. But I'll make sure you get the peanuts.
All right, before you head out to the Trap Tavern, that's tonight. But what tomorrow at 12:45?
Oh, the trial of – I'm the judge in the trial of Joe DeCamera.
Have you read over the dispositions already? Each side?
Is that what you do in the
– I've never been a judge.
No. This is my first time as a judge. Look,
I did have a mock trial class in college.
I'm going to hear the evidence tomorrow. And there's a lot of people that are assuming – that I am going to rule Joe guilty no matter what. Like, I have some sort of grudge against Joe DeCamera. It is true that I have a grudge against Joe DeCamera, but I am not going to rule unfairly. I'm going to rule fairly. It is true that he is a weasel. It is true that he whines a lot during Beat the Hammer. It is true that he is one of the strangest people that I've ever met in my days. But that does not mean that I'm just going to convict him just so I can get some joy watching him get his legs full and feet fully waxed.
Is that why
I would not do something?
Is
like
that why you're presiding and not a jury of his peers? Because I feel like if it was his peers, it'd be completely obvious he gets convicted.
His peers are like Angela Lansbury from Murder, She Wrote. The guy's got weird peers. He's got just
on his mind. He has weird peers.
MASH. You know, he's bringing up MASH in our show meeting the other day. I was like, Joe, MASH was. It was 50 years ago.
Nobody
brother.
Watches MASH anymore.
No, not now.
All right, you're off to the Trap Tavern.
Okay.
I'm staying here, and we will talk next week, and we'll see if the Sixers. So what is it, a bag of peanuts?
But a roasted-in-the-shell bag of
roasted-in-the-shell bag of peanuts. I've got the Bucks Saturday. Spike has the Sixers. This has been Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio, of course, brought to you by the Mayfair Business Improvement District.
Look at me, Tucker. Make it Mayfair for the holidays.
On Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.